Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, kicking into hour number two, Chris, Jeff with you on a Monday, 1 week until the Masters is over.
Very sad.
It's also opening day, and you got G-Day coming up Saturday, so busy, busy week. Lots of stuff going on. Hey, tomorrow night, too, Georgia and Clemson play in a sport, baseball, over at Clemson. Georgia and Clemson should play in all sports, but is baseball really the only sport that they play each other in on a regular annual basis?
Yeah.
Tennis, maybe?
Yeah, that's about it. And I'm thinking, too, for football, I get it these days. All right, maybe you can't play every year, but we ought to at least play 4 out of 8 years. There's no reason in basketball Georgia and Clemson shouldn't play. But when you look at some of the garbage games those schools play, you know, cut out a Coppin State, and let's have Georgia play Clemson.
That's
the most obvious sport to me.
Again, I understand the football dynamic.
I get it.
But basketball, there's no excuse for not playing Clemson every year.
There's not. But absolutely zero.
Yeah, I know, there really isn't. It makes no sense that they don't.
No.
Maybe it's not part of the SEC Network brand. I don't know.
Well, and the other thing, it's like playing tech in November. Oh, I got a solution for you right now. Let's get the ADs and coaches. We're going to play 2 Saturdays after the football game.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, if finals have started, okay. Then we're going to play the last Saturday before you break for Christmas. How about one of those 2 dates?
Yeah.
And have that cleared for your schedule every year so Coppin State or whoever knows they can't play you then.
Just play Clemson.
It's pretty easy. And, yes, you should play Clemson.
Play Clemson every year.
And here's the other thing, too. From Athens or from Atlanta, it's a very easy drive to Clemson. And if you're a Clemson fan, from Clemson, from Greenville, from Anderson, it's a very easy drive to Athens.
It's really easier to get to Clemson from here than it is to get to Atlanta.
Coach, I had this discussion at lunch today, too. Let's say baseball, when the Braves' new stadium opens up, that traffic, in theory, I might be exaggerating a bit. I grew up in Statesboro. It's a 3-hour drive. If Georgia was playing Georgia Southern in Statesboro, it wouldn't be that much longer to drive down there than it would be to drive to that new park in 5-hour traffic, and it would be a lot less stressful. Would you agree with that?
Possible, yeah.
I mean, it would definitely be less stressful.
It would definitely be less stressful. Yes. I mean, you could time it, like if you were willing to get to the game like 4 hours before
it
started.
At 3 o'clock. You could leave here at 1 and be there
and
at 3.
Probably dodge the teeth of rush hour. Although, I mean, that 285 is always a mess. But
you remember when it used to
be. I will never go to a Braves game in that stadium. I can go ahead and tell you, I will never drive my car there.
And remember, it used to be in Atlanta, if you were between like 9:30 and 3:30, you were fine with traffic. Now, it's pretty much.
It's constant.
Yeah.
I mean, I will never go to a game in that stadium unless somebody drives me. If I get a limo ride, something like that. There's no way I will ever, ever drive myself to a game in that stadium.
I do have a friend who lives about a mile from there. If he would put me up and if we had a limo or a helicopter.
Yeah, I can get choppered in like Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Used to fly to high school games
but
here.
But I was thinking about it. Again, our lunch crew today, 3 people said the exact same thing. Well, I'll never – because somebody said, what are the Braves doing? I said, they're dumping salary and they're trying to peak when the new stadium opens. And one of my buddies goes, I'll never go to a game there. And that's when I brought up the – yeah, it would probably be – yeah, if you wanted to go watch Georgia and Georgia Southern play in Statesboro, it might be faster to drive to Statesboro. And definitely
but
less stressful.
Yeah, definitely. The key is the less stressful part.
And which goes back to what you were saying about Clemson. As far as the old odometer goes, it's a shade further than Russ Chandler Stadium and Turner Field. But I far more enjoy my annual drive up to Clemson than I do the 2 trips into Atlanta.
Easily. Yeah. I mean, and the distance in miles is it's a little farther to Clemson.
A little bit, but it's faster to get there.
Yeah. I mean, but the time it takes and the stress level is a lot lighter.
Well, and it goes back to what you were saying, too. I wind up leaving for like the Turner Field or the Tech game. I wind up leaving here at like 1:30 or 2 and get there at 3:30 and just sit around for an hour and a half before I even start to work.
Because you never know. It's just too unpredictable.
No, I couldn't. If my plan was to get there exactly 2 hours before the game, which is when I usually arrive at Foley, and let's say you pack in an hour and a half, the game's at 7. If I left here at 3:30, the odds of me walking into either of those stadiums at 5 o'clock is pretty slim.
Pretty slim, yeah. I mean, you do have to you got to time it around that rush hour. But so tomorrow, Georgia and Clemson. And it's one of the rare moments now when Georgia plays Clemson in a sport. Baseball's about all you got left. But again, basketball makes absolutely no sense. And Clemson Clemson, I guess, would be willing to, if it had to be on the SEC network. Heck, Tech played baseball on it last week.
Yeah. I mean, Georgia and Clemson should play. That's the sport where it absolutely makes the most sense.
Yeah. It's crazy. All right, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Jeff, let's open it up with the Braves opening day. It's 1-0. They lead the Marlins in the heading to the bottom half of the third. So if you took over 74 wins for the Braves this year, you are looking good so far.
It's a lot, baby. It's a lot.
What's our final best guesses for the season, the Braves' final season projection now? I mean, we do have the benefit of knowing that they've severed ties with Craig Kimbrell.
Well,
which is good, because that's very difficult to say his name, so yeah, we don't have to do that anymore.
The double R there thing. We set it at 74.5 a couple of weeks ago.
And Vegas says it at 74, or it was.
I'm going under. I mean, I didn't recognize half the names in their lineup today, and I didn't realize, like, oh, Kelly Johnson's back. That reminded me of Major League. Jake Taylor, wish we had him 3 years ago. We did. Oh, well, 5 years ago.
Major League is totally what the Braves feel
there's
like
no
right
question.
Now. Like, we don't know that there's the Liberty Media Group actually is plotting to move them not to Cobb County, but to some other city altogether.
So is Bryce Harper a real-to-life Clue Hayward? That's who the Braves will have to beat in the one-game playoff, right?
The Washington Nationals. If it goes like it did, because the Indians had to beat the Yankees, right?
That's right. That's right. With Clue Hayward at first base.
Yeah. Well, the Nationals have Dan Uggla in their opening day lineup today, so they might not even make it.
Yeah, I did. Somebody did tweet that out, and I thought that was a good point. That let's not crown them champions yet. They do have Dan Uggla in the lineup.
Yeah, they are beating the Mets right now 1-0 as they head to the bottom half of the fifth. The Braves do lead the Marlins 1-0, and again, they're in the bottom half of the third. So I agree with Jeff. I think the Braves are, they're going to get what they're wanting this mm-hmm. season, which is to not be at all that competitive.
Well, here's the big key for them. They've got 6 of the top 89 picks in June's draft. They need to really hit a home run.
Well, yeah, I mean they definitely are gearing to be a team to reckon with in 2017 when they open that new ballpark. I mean, some of the deals that they have made, I don't have problems mm-hmm. with, because they're getting,
like the Gattis deal. They got a good couple of prospects from Houston.
Yeah, yes. And they've gotten a couple here from San Diego in this latest. I don't have a problem by 2017. Again, I've said with Kimbrell, you can look at his contact rate against him, his strikeout to walk ratio. It's been climbing. I didn't think that was a great deal that they entered into with him last season. So if you were going to be in a mode where you're rebuilding, it never made sense to me that he was the one guy they weren't trading.
Right
now they finally have. Hayward is the one, like, if you want to be young and you want to be competitive in 17, I don't know why they got rid of him.
No, because he'll be right in his prime then.
Yeah.
Probably is an all-star for the Cardinals.
Well, I mean, far be it from me, I'm not overreacting to one game. He was 3-for-5 last night with 2 doubles.
No, he is. Well, we were saying that when they got him, because he's going to be able to hit 5th or 6th for them, no pressure. Not being a hometown kid, I think he is going to thrive.
And now
for
it's
the
seemingly they've been able to dump Upton's salary. I don't know what they're still on the hook for if they're paying Uggla anything, because they did just cut bait with him last year. So I don't know what how much he factors into what their total pool is right now. But you'd think that now they've got money potentially where. Who knows? I guess maybe they can enter the bidding for Hayward when he hits free agency anyway, even though he's not there. But it would just seem while he was, you know, playing for you, you could have negotiated a deal with him and made sure you went ahead and locked him up. instead of dealing him away. But we'll see how it goes.
Well, I just hate it, too, for Alex Wood that he's just going to kind of be stuck there and probably go through another season like he had last year when he has a great year, but the old win totals.
Yeah, I mean, he's just on a really bad – it's like it's Russ Nixon-esque.
It is funny. This is the lowest expectation since then. And for kids like Hawk fan Eric and Sam, who grew up knowing the greatness of the 90s and the like, they have never gone into a year with expectations like this. Even a couple of those in-between years, they still had some young guys and – you know, you still had hopes that they could at least finish over 500. I mean, this team, you look at it and...
This is the first time since the 80s that the Braves season has started where you just think it's going to be...
a bomb.
Comically bad.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, by the way, Toronto's just given up a double to Marlins pitcher Henderson Alvarez, but there are two outs, so we'll see if he can strand him. 1-0 Atlanta in the bottom half of the third. All right, Jeff, it's also the Masters this week. Here's what I want you to do. Now... just try to stick to in my lifetime, okay?
Okay.
I'm 29 years old. My lifetime, what are like, you know, the handful, if you want to go up to, since it's the five at five, as many as five, what are the best Masters I've witnessed?
Well, the 86 Masters is the best ever.
Okay.
Hands down. No question about it.
All right.
There's Jack Nicklaus.
In my lifetime or not, that's
it's the greatest
numero
Masters
uno.
Ever. Numero uno, number one.
Yeah.
Jack Nicklaus with 31 on the back nine. You know, Norman had a chance to tie with a birdie. He made double bogey. Tom Kite just misses a putt that would have put it in a playoff eventually. I mean, Watson was in the top 10. Seve was making a charge. Far and away the best Masters ever. And the cherry on top was it Jack Nicklaus
won. Okay.
Okay. The 2011 Masters, here's the only problem. And he's a very good player and may well win another major. As of now, Charles Schwartzel doesn't have the name, but at one point you had five guys tied for the lead, and you had Tiger, you had McIlroy, then remember Rory fell off on the back nine, you had Adam Scott. It was a tremendous, tremendous Masters.
Schwartzel made that double eagle too, didn't he?
That was Louis
in
12. What Schwartzel did, he birdied 15, 16, 17, 18. Nobody had ever done that before.
All right, I'm mixing up my South Africans.
There you go. Watson in 77 and 81 holding off Nicklaus in classic duels. Those would both
What year was that?
77 and 81.
Okay, all right, that's my lifetime. Barely.
And Chris, I got to say, and I had a great time too. I was watching it with my other buddy, Chris, and that's a day we both had 22-ounce steaks and four fried chicken breasts and maybe a beverage or two. It was not on the Chris Brame diet there. The Scott Cabrera playoff with Jason Day sniffing it too, I thought was a wonderful Masters in 2013.
I thought that one that, you know, Mickelson when he birdied the 72nd hole with Ernie Els sitting there eating that apple.
That was a great match. And the thing is, you were rooting for both of those guys.
Bonus question, who's the better Masters player, Phil or Tiger?
Right now I'd say Tiger because he's got more, but Mickelson's mighty close. I know it's one of those deals like, Greg Norman is a much better Masters player than, well, the guy who beat him, Larry Mize, or Trevor Immelman, but he just doesn't have the jacket. But I think, Chris, we said when Mickelson won the British last year, or now 2 years ago, said it wouldn't surprise me if he won another couple of majors. And I think his game, and you made the great point, too, that you know he's fought the arthritis, he's getting older. He's setting his game where he's peaking four times a year. And really, for him, with the PGA and British so packed together, you really only have to do it three times a year. I could see him legitimately, similar to Fred Couples, being a top 10 player at Augusta until he's 50.
So, I mean, there's a chance based on the direction their careers are going in right now, but by the time they're both done with, we could end up – even if – maybe let's say Mickelson doesn't win another one and Tiger still ends up with more green jackets. I mean, if Mickelson continues to at least contend here over the next couple of years, and let's just say, I mean, I don't know, maybe Tiger never gets back on track. Could it end up being Phil, though?
Yeah, I mean, you could make that argument, certainly, if you could say, hey, you know, let's say Phil winds up with three green jackets compared to Tiger's four, but he has more top fives, more top tens. And I would take that bet now because they're very similar for the two right now. I don't have it in front of me, but their all-time top tens are very close.
Right, and you got to figure, I mean, Phil's got a chance to certainly play better this week than Tiger.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he could win it. I absolutely
do. I mean, they were saying last week, Tiger played a practice round and shot a 74, and I'm thinking, well, that's not a good practice round.
No.
Yeah.
That'd be something like if a very good country club player went out and did that, you're high-fiving. It's like, no, you will not win shooting 74.
74 in a practice round. I don't even know why you're bragging about that.
That is not good.
By the way, you give up a two-out double to the pitcher, and that will come back and haunt you. The Marlins have tied at 1-1 through three innings. It is opening day for the Braves.
Is it raining inside?
Apparently they are playing now, so it started raining and they closed the roof. Unfortunately, they didn't have a tarp, though, so the field got quite wet, but I guess the delay is over. They've restarted, and it is now 1-1, end of three. Braves got an RBI single from new right fielder Nick Markakis. All right, let's jump into the Final Four now.
Boy, I love these trips down memory lane.
The game tonight, there's no Kentucky. Let me start by asking you this. Is Wisconsin and Duke worth putting off the season finale of Better Call Saul for?
I think so. And you've got all that fancy TiVo stuff and all that, too.
So you're saying I should just record Better Call Saul and watch Wisconsin and Duke?
I think so. And, for me, I'm like 4 or 5 behind on Better Call Saul, so I can't wait to get a little on-demand
going. Well, that's easy
going.
For you to say. You're not caught up, then.
I know.
I mean, I've seen it all. I want to see how it ends tonight. But you're telling me I should wait.
And Better Call Saul is too good to be quick viewing. Here's what I hope. You know what? Would it be a good thing if this game ends like the Kentucky-Notre Dame game did? And if it's a great game that turns into what's been the worst thing about basketball for years, it flies by for an hour and a half, but the last 2 minutes takes 30 minutes. Could that perhaps prompt some change?
Yeah, well,
like you need something bad.
I think the Kentucky-Notre
Dame game is already done.
Might have, because the rating was so big. You had so many people watching that realizing this is excruciating how long this has taken. The last night, the South Carolina-Notre Dame women's game,
mm-hmm.
Notre Dame had like 3 or 4 timeouts left in the final minute of the game.
Uh-huh.
Never used any of them.
No, you don't have
to. It was a 1-point game. They got the ball. They're down one. Instead of calling a timeout, they decide, you know what? We're going to run some. Because if I call a timeout, then the other coach has a chance to maybe make a defensive substitution, do something.
And
the whole game, that was it. It pretty much played out in a minute.
Well, I told you that a few years ago in the national semifinal, Texas A&M was down one to Stanford, scored with 37 seconds. Stanford scored with 8 seconds. A&M came down and scored with 3 seconds. It literally took less than 40 seconds. It was great.
I almost found myself starting to agree with Gino Auriemma when he said that the men's game is a joke, and then I remembered that his team beat a team in the Sweet 16 by 51.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm wondering now, wait, which sport is the joke?
Well, here's the thing. We've talked about it, too, with the men's game. The last 2 or 3 years, it's gotten better. But towards the end of games, that's where they need to fix it. And if they would just listen to us. 3 timeouts, you can only carry 2 over to the second half. That's it. You've got 2 timeouts in the second half. That's it.
And I think they should bang the use it or lose it 1-2 in the first half, because then you're just encouraging a coach to take a timeout, even if they don't necessarily need to.
So
I have to take it, because otherwise I lose it.
So you're going a step further saying you just got 2 timeouts for the whole game.
I'm willing to give them 3 aside like you have in football.
All right, well, then they would use all 3 in the second half then.
Yeah.
I think the 3 and 2 is the way to go.
I mean, as it stands now, for the most part, they end up using like 5 in the second half because they're 6, right?
You can carry 4 over to the second half, and there are 4 official timeouts.
All right,
in the
so they
half.
They get 5, and then there's the use it or lose it one, though.
Yeah, you get 5, you can carry 4 over.
So I'm willing to, since most of the time they're carrying 4 over anyway, that are all being used in the second half. I'm okay with give them 3, and then maybe there's a point in the first half though that they feel like, you know, I got to call one, but there's not that you must call one, otherwise it goes away.
The best thing the women's game did this year though. To avoid this, you call a timeout at 7:59. Oh, then you inbounds it. They tip it out at 7:58, official timeout. Boom.
That happened Saturday night.
Now, in the women's game, if you call that timeout under 16, 12, 8, or 4, that also counts as the media timeout.
Yeah.
That saved. I can't tell you how much time it saved, Chris. I mean, we had games this year We were tipping at 7. I mean, I was off the air at 9. I'm talking about post-game show and everything. Game being over 8:40, 8:45. Unless you're talking about, and that's another thing baseball's got to worry about. Football, length of game doesn't matter. You're on Saturday and Sunday, okay? It doesn't matter. If you're talking about baseball, basketball during the week for fans, you're trying to take kids, do things like that. The pace of play is incredibly important for baseball and basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are used to football at this point. There's more inaction than there is action.
And again, it's a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, but tonight's a Monday night.
Yeah.
Trying to get to bed and trying to watch Better Call Saul. But I think it'll be a good game, and I like Wisconsin to win. And I would rather have seen Kentucky and Duke, you know, have at least an undefeated storyline going tonight. But listen, Wisconsin were the better boys the other day.
Here's the thing too, Wisconsin, they are 36-3. It's not like this is some 10-loss team.
No, there's a 2-1 seeds playing.
Yeah, and I mean, who's beating them? Duke and Michigan State? I mean,
yeah, I know Duke beat them by 10.
Yeah,
I don't know
who
their other two losses.
They've got I don't know. I'm assuming they're both in the league, but no, they're a tremendous team. All right, what's your favorite title game ever? We ran through all the great ones in the 80s in the first hour. To me, the Carolina-Georgetown game is the greatest championship game ever, and a big factor is, you know, oh, yeah, the guy who made the game-winning shot.
The first one that I really remember was the 83 one with NC State.
That was a great game.
And Louisville.
Houston.
Houston. Mm-hmm. That was the first one I really remembered.
And by the way, those Houston teams, too, and that one especially, that was the best one because you had Akeem in his prime and Drexler. The best team that did not win the national title.
Yeah.
Those Houston teams.
Because those teams stick together for like 3 years.
Yes.
It wasn't just like one and done ones now. The Keith Smart shot was a good game.
Nope.
You know, what was a great game, but it was ruined by an official, was the Michigan Seton Hall game.
No question. Glenn Rice had one of the great tourneys ever. How about New Orleans? You had Jordan, Keith Smart, and the Chris Webber timeout. It was a great game.
Yeah, that's where Dean won all his titles. Was
that's
New
right,
Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah, that because I liked the Fab Five because they were in my wheelhouse. It was, mm-hmm. you know, in high school or whatever. Seeing as how I'm 29, I was in middle school then.
Wait, what am I saying here?
Yeah,
turn into Brian Williams here.
Okay. I know, right? But, those Fab Five ones, that UNLV team I always fancied, but when they won it was a blowout, and I hated Duke, and then they beat them the next year, so. The Fab Five one, those Final Fours, that, you know, the NC State and Houston game.
I'll tell you what, you know,
the Seton Hall Michigan game is one that was a really good game, and you know, unfortunately, it got blown on a call that should have been basically a no call. But veteran official John Clockerty, the reason he became a veteran official is because he got his name said way too many times.
Hey, Clockerty.
Yeah.
Which is it? Do you hate me, or are you just incompetent?
It could have been both, actually.
To kick me out of a game one time. Did I tell you that?
Did you ask him if he hated you?
Well, I was doing the typewritten play-by-play, and there were like, these guys who sat behind me. You know who they are. They sit on the front row behind the bench, were just killing him. And I probably did throw my arms up in the air or something. I didn't yell anything at him. And we're playing Kentucky on national TV. He came over. He told me, you watch what you say. I'll run you out of here. And I'm like, I didn't say anything.
Yeah. Why are you worrying about me?
Then there were people around. Even, like, luckily, the great Larry England was doing PA. So then, of course, here comes a great Claude Felton in full freakout mode. I'm like, I didn't say anything, and I had witnesses. It's like, is these guys back here killing them? Now, did I gesture wildly? Probably so.
Yeah. But the extra miles you've put on Claude over the years.
Oh, poor.
Moment to.
That's nothing.
This
too.
Is freaking hideous.
Oh, you have no idea.
That was the best. I remember just looking down to see Claude disappear. It's like, well, he's making a beeline toward Jeff.
That was not good. He's rescued me. And that's like if you, like Nicholas won the Masters in his 20s, 30s, and 40s. Claude's rescued me in my teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s. I'm like, I promise I did not say a thing.
Yeah.
So John Clockerty, yeah, he threatened to throw me out of a game, but more importantly, put Ramil Robinson at the line to hit the two free. But when you talk about great tournaments and guys who had tournaments, Chris, the standouts to me from the 80s, what Manning did in 88 and what Rice did in 89, Those two are at the top of my list. Then you know who had the next one like that? And it was in a losing cause. They lost the final. John Wallace in 96 for Syracuse. He really carried that
team.
He
stuck the dagger in
Georgia. Oh, my gosh. That guy was unbelievable.
All right, who do you like tonight? One final thing.
Oh, man. You know what? Michigan State usually loses in the semifinal. Duke's got six losses in national title games. Let's go with Whiskey tonight.
Wisconsin, there you go. That's who I'm picking, too. All right, there you go. Get on them. Wisconsin, you've heard it. We've got agreement over here.
I'm supposed to pick Duke. That way one of us is right.
That way one of us is right. Yeah.
All right, I got Duke.
But before we break, I do want to point out.
Yes, we don't know what we're talking about.
That while I am finishing in last place in our company office pool, I do take a measure of satisfaction in the fact that I am only one of two people in it that did not have Kentucky playing tonight. The other one was Tech fan Eric, who basically just cheated off of me and picked Wisconsin to win it all, since that's who I said was going to win it all.
Now, who'd you put in your bracket?
North Carolina.
So what do I tell you about the only time you make mistakes in wagering? When you go away, you have a great call, and then you back away from it.
Well, the reason I did it, though, was because I entered this more like thinking, like trying to like outsmart like the
contest. You were trying to win the
money. I'm in a contest, and now everyone's picking Kentucky. I'm definitely not taking them. And then at Tech Fan Eric had Wisconsin, so I went, well, I'm going to do something different. So I picked North Carolina, and it got me. It burned me. I'm finishing in last place.
Why don't you ever listen to me?
Well, I mean, I do every now and then.
With your wagering.
Occasionally.
That's the only time you mess up. You make a great early call,
but
then you pull a munch.
But it's Tech Fan Eric's fault. I wouldn't have backed away if it hadn't been for Eric copying me.
Speaking of Tech, how about my Twitter and email both got hacked last week?
It probably is someone from over there.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah. They've heard about you. They heard you were their new play-by-play announcer.
I'm on their radar.
Yeah.
That was what I remember asking Coach McGill one time. I think it was the 97 game that we won. I go, Coach, are you going over to Tech? He goes, well, I am, but when I go, I have to go incognito.
So, he didn't dress like he dressed all the other times?
It's like you're like wearing a disguise.
Yeah. Goes,
I have to go. All he would say is, I go incognito.
Well, I wonder how he looked if anyone ever snapped a photo of Coach McGill at Tech. All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.